Thursday, July 1st. In discussing the Pentagon paper question in one of a long series of long meetings today, the President raised the point of the Hiss question again and said Elliot Richardson's got to fire Cook regardless of what he thinks about him. One of the points they kept making about Alger Hiss was that his family was beyond reproach, etc. He wants Ehrlichman to realize that we have a great opportunity here, that this is a conspiracy, that they are not on good ground, that we now can leak out the other bad stories. He feels this isn't the time for a presidential statement, that he should not elevate the suppression of the papers, and that's not a good issue for us. So maybe further down the line, after our news break on the 15th, then he can really unload. The problem is he doesn't want to get into the Ellsberg question, so he wanted Ehrlichman to do some checking on that with the key staff people. He really got going again on trying to get Houston or Dick Allen or somebody in fast to take this whole project on like the President took on the Hiss case, 18 hours a day with total dedication, tracking out and down every lead, leaking stuff to the press. He made the point that the Hiss case was won in the newspapers because no one would prosecute, even the FBI. Also on the declassification thing, leak the other stories to the good newspapers, because this takes the people's eyes off of Vietnam and gets them thinking about the past. What we need is not a workman like Whitaker, but an SOB like Houston, and the President will direct it himself. He doesn't believe the Cook story. He's convinced Cook was working against us within the bureaucracy. He said don't ever have Cook in the White House, and he was very discouraged that Elliot won't move ahead and fire him. He feels that we're being too soft on Cook. The real question is, why did he show anything to Ellsberg? What was Ellsberg's need to know? Later, he made the point that if we can't get Elliot to fire Ellsberg, then we should at least, to fire Cook, we should at least crucify him in the press. He feels that, going back to the statement question, that we're still better off to let Ellsberg unfold a little more before it's the right time for him to say something. We had a lot of discussions back and forth on whether to go ahead, and our final recommendation was that he should not say anything on television, but that it probably would be a good idea for him to make a basic statement at the Kansas City briefing. He's very anxious to get going on busting out the other papers and the declassification stuff. Still looking for names, we suggested the idea of having congressmen take the lead on this, like Russolo or somebody like that, which he liked, but he still wants an inside staff man to ride herd on it. He developed a line regarding the Times that the court has now said that the newspaper can print the material if it does not do irreparable damage. The question now is whether a newspaper has the responsibility in any standard. That is irreparable damage the standard that the American press is going to hold for itself? He feels the press is on a bad wicket regarding the right to profit from the publication of stolen documents. They have a constitutional right under the First Amendment, and that overrides the right of America and the right of an American who is fighting for his country to stay alive. They say they don't care about the effects. If declassification is going to follow unauthorized disclosure, then the whole classification system is destroyed. There's no grounds for release on the basis that other people have it. He's very strongly pushing to cut off the security clearances of most of the people in government and all the outside organizations like RAND and Brookings, etc. Buchanan's arguing hard for a presidential statement, and again, we went back and forth throughout the day on that thing. The problem being that nobody really has made a clear statement of our line, and that's bothering him. He had a meeting with the security declassification group that was set up under his order of January 1st. This is Rehnquist's group. And he really jumped on these poor guys who are second-level bureaucrats. He told them to attack the thing frontally, to start classifying far less material and have far greater penalties for violations of classified material, and to cut way down on the number of people with top secret clearances, setting up new classifications. He also wants to knock off the clearances for outside institutions. Don't classify to protect politically, only to protect the national security. Cut the number of documents and the number of people, and then get a much stricter law, not under the Espionage Act. Something with a straight criminal penalty, very stiff, for anyone who takes a classified document. He told them to expand their study to cover all previous wars. They should not be classified, and he wants them to give the president recommendations on how to declassify. This goes back to his idea on Korea, World War II, Cuba, etc. He says, we now have the standard applied in an arrogant way to this war because it's immoral, so it shouldn't we also declassify the other wars? We can't have a double standard. He says his purpose is not more secrecy, but less, because we classify too much and then we can't protect it. He wants a new classification at an extraordinary level, like presidential decision or something with highest security and only 100 people cleared for it. He makes the point that you can't protect, because you can't protect these documents and all, we've become inhibited, so we don't put things through the bureaucracy anymore. He wants to set up an ad hoc clearance for outsiders so that they're cleared for one purpose when needed, but don't give them a permanent clearance so they can see anything. We can't worry about protecting individual reputations. We can only worry about the national security. He made the point that the establishment has a new intellectual arrogance, which leads them to think that they know best and that the determination regarding what the public should know should be made by them. There's a new morality where the individual determines what is moral and what is right. We can't let individuals through the government make determination. There wouldn't be any consultations, memos, or anything else. We serve a different morality. Elected officials establish the law. The courts enforce them. Those who disobey, even if they think the law is wrong, are immoral. If the cause is right, they say it justifies breaking the law. But that's fascism. The means justify the ends. He told them to spend some time on their study and not to rush it, which is what Ehrlichman wanted him to do. Mitchell called late in the day and suggested that we do a polygraph on Cook. He doesn't think we should let him off. He's talked with the guys at Defense, Buzzard, and so forth, and they are convinced that there's more to this than Elliot says. Also that it would be a beautiful deterrent in the bureaucracy. So the president said to have Mitchell have a tough talk with Elliot, tell him that we have to be able to answer our critics, and this is the only way we can do it. End of July 1st.